The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Five minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Monday, October 24, 2022. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. Welcome back to hour number two. Going to be talking about energy, global warming, great deception, upcoming power blackouts. I don't know. Pick your poison. We had some commentary in our last hour about Rand Paul. Yes, CNBC did confirm that Rand Paul and his wife hadn't bought stock in an individual company in at least 10 years before Kelly Paul, Rand Paul's wife, bought shares of Gilead Sciences in early 2020. And this was basically when they started clinical trials for remdesivir. Boy, talk about the pot calling the kettle black, huh? The insanity. Now, the senator disclosed his wife's purchase this last Wednesday, 16 months after the legal deadline for disclosures. This is why we get into the pot calling the kettle black. It's a problem. Because you see, we're not holding anybody accountable here. There are some people that are looking at the back channels. And now they tell us there's global warming. You know, when we're sitting there looking at a harsh winter in Germany and the federal police are ramping up, because I would suspect they think there might be riots in the street because somebody wasn't making sense about preservation of fuel supplies. And I mean, our natural resources over here in the United States, vis-a-vis the petroleum reserve, have been compromised to the point where now we're in mission critical. Any major disaster, we're in trouble. So we have a gentleman with us on the phone who's a member of Pi Tau Sigma, the International Honor Society for Mechanical Engineers. He was elected a Distinguished Engineering Fellow by the College of Engineering, University of Alabama in 95. His book, Global Warming, The Great Deception, explains what he believes to be the flawed claims of global warming caused by human activity. And of course, we've had Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org and people on the show that have told you, now this is a lot deeper than what you are led to believe. You look up in the sky and you see those chemtrails. Yeah, the government, I think, is behind this. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Guy Mitchell, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Well, so following Russia's shutdown of the Nord Stream 1 and the issue with Germany not wanting to move forward with it, a new report from Fox Business says that the National Grid's Electricity System Operator, or ESO, has announced it's working on establishing precautionary measures. Do we need to read between the lines on that? What are they talking about here?
Well, I'm not really sure. You know, I find it interesting that there's been a lot of focus on the Nord Stream 1 pipeline and 2, which is yet to be completed or commissioned. But the Russians have total control over the gas flowing through Nord Stream 1, which was the operative pipeline until Mr. Putin shut down gas transmission. So I'm not sure if there's a concern about security measures with the Nord Stream pipelines, or maybe pipelines coming from other locales in either Russia or other places that might be feeding the EU. Now, if they were to lose any gas supply in addition to the Nord Stream pipelines, that would be a traumatic occurrence for the European Union.
Well, we already know that there's issues with shortages. I mean, they're already saying it in the UK that 1 in 3 British households could be without energy supplies this winter. What are you hearing?
Well, I think that's clearly the concern. You know, on October the 18th in France, you had more than 100,000 striking teachers, railway, healthcare, and refinery workers who all took to the streets to protest rising energy costs and high inflation. And in France today, 28% or probably more at this point of the nation's gas stations are run out of gas or diesel or both. And they have lines, long lines, in those stations that still have supply for now. So, you know, in France, you're having what amounts to the mass demonstrations, which hopefully are short of riots, but about the problem with inflation, energy shortage. And that's only going to get worse, unfortunately, because the EU is just not set up to well, there are two reasons. One, they're not set up to store large amounts of natural gas. And then secondly, they've recently, well, not recently, over the last 30 years, have made a pivot from fossil fuel to gas and renewable energy sources. And now they're having shortages.
See, this is the thing I've been saying all along in this show, Guy, is that this situation, they don't have a plan. They never had a plan. Had they reasonably thought this thing out and stopped listening to the ESG folks and listening to the WEF and everybody else that's out there pandering this nonsense, saying, oh, the world's going to end in 8 years if we don't do something to fix it. And they don't have an alternate plan. I mean, we got Tesla vehicles burning up. We got vehicles in Florida catching fire because they got flooded. I mean, the technology is not there to support leaving fossil fuels. And I mean, literally, now they're making fun of the oil industry, accusing them of price gouging. I find this whole thing suspicious. And I think that, you know, the reason you wrote the book is because you found it suspicious as well.
Well, it's not only suspicious, but in a great sense, it's really tragic. You know, the problems for the European Union go back a long way and have to do with their dependence on cheap Russian natural gas. And beginning about 30 years or so ago, because of the pressures they faced from the Green Party and the eco-terrorists, they began to change the energy mix of their power grid from coal primarily, which supplied 40% of the EU electricity in 1990, to natural gas and renewables. So today, though, the mix has flipped, where in 2020, 40% of EU electricity was supplied by natural gas-powered electric plants, only 12% from coal, and 38% from renewables, which was up from 12% in 1990. So they succumbed to the pressure of the Green Parties and the eco-terrorists. They reconfigured their power grid. And in doing so, by the way, they abandoned 79 billion tons of coal in the EU, which would have powered their grids for 285 years at the 1990 consumption level. So they made a bet on cheap Russian gas primarily and renewables, and the renewables are just not reliable to be able to supply the baseload power.
All right, so, but this whole thing factors in politically as far as trading long-term prosperity for short-term political gain, as you discussed in your article, Deindustrialization of the European Union. What do you believe was the most crucial mistake the country made when it came to putting this plan in motion?
Well, that's a great question, and I think the answer is that the decision was made to align the economic interests of the EU with Russian gas supply. And, you know, that's a, to say the least, it is a very foolish decision to depend on an adversary for the supply of such a critical component of your energy mix. And what happened, two things resulted. Number one, they reconfigured the power grid, as I've just said a minute ago. But then number two, German and French manufacturing industry in particular became addicted to this cheap Russian gas that they were purchasing, and that their competitive advantage, if you will, or at least their competitiveness in the world market, has been predicated on this cheap energy source. Well, now you don't have that. So you're seeing throughout the EU, plants are either laying off or shutting down operations, and it's going to have a devastating effect on the European economy. Unfortunately, I think we're just beginning to see what's going to happen, and the effect it's going to have is going to be widespread.
So as far as this supposed three-hour blackout everybody's talking about, and this is for UK citizens, I mean, we're dealing with a multiculturalized country that is heavily dependent on electricity, and all of a sudden now we got rolling blackouts. And this is going to be all throughout the United Kingdom. I mean, what are they looking for as far as preparations right now? I mean, is there anything they can prepare for other than the eventuality of, well, let's see, do we have a generator? Do we have petrol? No, we don't. Well, how are we supposed to heat our house? Well, do you have a fireplace? I don't know. How are we supposed to prepare for something like this?
Well, it's going to be difficult for some of the reasons you just discussed. And by the way, the prospect of rolling blackouts is not just in the UK, it's in all of the European Union countries. Now, you know, interesting, some of them, taking the Netherlands, for example, the Netherlands retained their coal-fired power plants and have continued to operate them, but on very low levels of capacity, like maybe 35-33%. Which is it's not very economical, but they had sort of a backup idling in the background, if you will. So, you know, they can, provided they can get the coal, then they can increase the capacity of generation of these plants, and maybe they can meet the demand without natural gas. Germany, on the other hand, has essentially eliminated their coal-fired power plants, and surprisingly, they were planning to idle the last nuclear plant this year. Now, that's changed. But the problem is they don't have much coal-fired, if any, electric power generation capability, and so they're going to be faced with a difficulty, as will, you know, several of the other countries. Now, France, for example, has 56 nukes. Half of them are down with maintenance on the cooling pipes for the reactors, and the 20 something that are down, 20 of them are currently being under a strike by the energy workers in France. So you have all of these factors that play in, and it's just hard to know. But I think throughout the EU, they're going to be rolling blackouts, and they may last a lot longer than 3 hours. And, of course, whereas that presents a problem for a residential customer, imagine if you're an industrial customer and you're trying to manufacture something, or even, for example, a steel manufacturer or aluminum manufacturer. If you go down for 3 or 5 or 6 hours and you've got a heat in your furnace, what are you going to do? So, I mean, it is just hard to predict how bad things could get. I hope they're not as bad as I've described them, but I'm afraid it's going to be a dark, cold winter for many residents in the European Union.
Right. Well, I mean, and so just off the cuff before we get into the rest of the book, because I want to talk about the science aspect of what they're getting wrong and what we're being fed. We're being fed a whole bunch of basically disinformation, not misinformation. They are basically trying to program us to go to this utopic state of affairs that, to me, makes no sense. I mean, we've got something that's working. You don't change horses in the middle of the stream, so to speak, especially when you've got energy sources that are already working. And here you go and shut up a pipeline and shut up Keystone. You know, I mean, it's, and then you make it difficult for energy companies over here to drill. We've got no oil to sell. We were energy independent. We'll get into that in a minute. But out of curiosity, this issue with global warming and Greta Thunberg and trying to make her a poster child, I hope really, seriously, she's sitting there saying, oh, please don't shut down all your coal-fired power plants and your nuke plants because we don't want Greta to freeze her butt off this winter. Boy, wouldn't that be just desserts, having your poster child freeze to death? You know, I mean, we're looking at some things that could, with the winters that are there in Europe, we're not even talking about what they're forecasting for New England, because we've been reporting on that as well, that they're going to be facing blackouts up in New England as well. But you know, we're talking about just Europe. I mean, this is where all this garbage started, because that's where the World Economic Forum is. And the World Health Organization is basically bought into this stuff. It's all a group of elitists trying to control the entire mechanics of this. We've looked at the pandemic as being a depopulation effort. I'm looking at, hey, let's freeze a few people to death. What's that going to matter? Oh, yeah, just they're a haphazard casualty of our poor planning. I'm not so sure about that. What's your take on that?
Dave, as you mentioned earlier, I think that this subject has several aspects to it that have affected the way that many people think about it. You know, the first thing, and this is what I try to do in my book, Global Warming, the Great Deception, first thing to do is to start at the beginning and look at the science. And so the first thing you say, well, you know, if we're going to analyze this subject according to the scientific method of inquiry, which has guided scientific research for 400 years, the first thing let's do, let's look at the world's temperature databases to see how much, if any, global warming has occurred. And what one finds is if you look at the temperature database, the world temperature databases for the lower atmosphere, which is the first kilometers of the atmosphere called the troposphere. If you look at the temperature databases compiled by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, for the ocean, if you look at the temperature databases compiled by NOAA for the landmass, what you see is there's no significant global warming at all. I mean, we're talking about temperature increases on the order of 0.014 degrees centigrade, which is de minimis and is well within the measurement margin of error. So the first thing that an unbiased observer would conclude from looking at the databases is there has been no global warming. Then the second thing you do, if you look at research conducted by scientists who have the expertise in the fields of thermodynamics, spectroscopy, quantum mechanics, and atmospheric physics, which are the relevant scientific fields that are needed to look at this from a science standpoint, not the way the UN Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change looks at it. But if you look at it from a science standpoint, it is the research, the published peer-reviewed research demonstrates that the heat flux that comes from the atmosphere down to the Earth as a result of an increase of CO2 concentration in the atmosphere is de minimis. It's about 0.2% of the power of the sun's irradiance on a clear summer day at equatorial latitude. So the bottom line is the temperature databases prove that there's not been global warming. physical analysis using the relevant fields of science demonstrate that there's not significant heat, downwelling heat flux coming from CO2 molecules in the atmosphere. So it's a non-event. It is the greatest scientific fraud in history. And people have bought into it because the media has promoted it. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change has promoted it, and there's no scientific basis to support it.
Well, see, and you know, everybody on the other side would, of course, call you a climate denier, and I just got to laugh because the thing is, the research is there. You have a degree in mechanical engineering. You obviously understand this stuff. I mean, you're a distinguished fellow. So, you know, when you look at stuff like this and you sat down and you bothered to take the time to do the research and write a book about it, then it turns out that it's just a matter of, to me, you're looking at the economic standpoint of this stuff and how much has been spent worldwide on climate research with nothing to show for it, but an agenda where they want to take climate and use it as a control mechanism. Am I getting close?
You sure are. You're right on it. And as I point out in my book, the motivation for the UN IPCC, certain world politicians like Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, Theresa May, who was the Prime Minister of the UK, and Joe Biden, and certain members of the Democrat Party, and global investment firms, it's all about money and control. In the case of the UN IPCC, they state in some of their publications that their goal is to address socioeconomic inequalities worldwide. They want to transfer money from the developed countries to the developing countries under the guise of addressing climate change. For politicians, it's all about control. If you read what Governor Newsom is doing in California, they're controlling the lives of the electorate there.
They sure are. All right, we're up at the break right now. We're on the phone with Guy Mitchell. We will be back here on the Power Hour to continue our conversation about global warming, the great deception. And, Tommy, we've got the science here, folks. Take from it what you will. But we will have more conversation in your phone calls after the break. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that. And I've heard you talk about lithium to, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Monday, October 24th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you for this last segment. We are opening up the phone lines for those of you who have questions, 844-769-2944. We're on the phone with Guy Mitchell. He is a International Honor Society member for mechanical engineers, distinguished engineering fellow from the College of Engineering, University of Alabama. Roll Tide, baby. 1995, of course. Guy, we appreciate you coming back on for this segment. And, there's some things politically that you were talking about before we went to break about these false global warming narratives to obtain research funding and other things that this Green Climate Fund, green investments, all this other garbage. There's a method to the madness here, and I think they're trying to fleece the world for money. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. Just in a nutshell, what does it look like to you?
Well, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. As I said a little earlier in the program, the UN has been the primary motivator, promoter behind this fraudulent hypothesis, and they have two objectives. One is to increase research funding, which provides the financial support for the Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change to continue to exist and thrive. And then we talked about they want to transfer wealth from the developed to the developing nations. And one of the ways they do that is by the selling, by the trading of carbon credits and carbon offsets, and providing credits to countries and investors who invest in green energy projects in developing countries. Then you have the cadre of politicians who want to control the lives of the electorate. And I think one of the most poignant examples of that occurred recently when Governor Gavin Newsom in California issued an executive order that said by 2035, no internal combustion engines, only electric vehicles could be sold in California. And then, of course, you have President Biden, who has issued an executive order back in December of 2021 that said that the goal was to have 50% of the vehicles on the roads in the United States be electric vehicles by 2030, and that by 2035, the power grid in the United States would be carbon neutral, which one has to assume either means no fossil fuels can power the grid, or those states, those utilities that are still generating electricity with fossil fuels would have to buy carbon offsets to quote unquote be carbon neutral, which of course has no effect on reducing CO2 in the atmosphere. So, you know, it's then finally it's all about the money. Global investment firms. I'll give you an example. In 2004, when Al Gore and his partner from Goldman Sachs formed Generation Investment Management in London, England, the worldwide market for trading carbon credits and offsets was around $10 billion. In 2019, it was estimated to be $210 billion, and at the end of 2021, was estimated to be over $800 billion, probably one of the largest commodity markets, if not the largest in the world. So there's huge profits to be made for international investment firms in trading carbon. And so if you want to find out what the motivation is, follow the money.
Well, it makes all the sense in the world. And see, the thing is, we know Al Gore didn't invent the internet, but you see these politicians, they got this idea. Just like what I reported on at the beginning of our segment about Rand Paul's wife buying remdesivir, you know, stock in Gilead Sciences, pot calling the kettle black. I mean, the hypocrisy that is going on in Washington, these people have the inside track. They know what's going on. They're plugged into the elitist groups. They understand exactly what they're doing when they set these things up for the purposes of the big fleece. Now, to me, the average American consumer and those in the EU that are going to be affected by this, we have what looks now to be, and remember back in the 70s and 80s, it was big oil against the government. We're back to that again, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, the thing that amazes me, of course, the European Union, the dilemma they now face can't really be overstated. You saw where I think Liz Thomas was the newly elected prime minister who resigned 44 days after taking office in an uproar about some plans to try to cut taxes when they're facing real fiscal issues. But throughout the EU now, you know, the Macron in France. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the name of the prime minister in Germany. It used to be Angela Merkel. But throughout the EU now, these leaders are going to be faced with a crisis. And there's no easy way out. There's no quick solution. So it's going to be problematic. Now, we in the U.S., luckily, because of the decision of the Supreme Court versus West Virginia about nullifying the EPA's ability to, legislate or regulate carbon emissions from power plants, so far we've been saved from this. But the sad part about it is the people that can afford it the least are going to feel the most effect in the EU. I don't think the problem can be overstated. And if we're smart, if enough people wake up to the facts, hopefully we can avoid that situation in the United States.
Well, we hope so. But again, I think big oil and everybody in the American Petroleum Institute, I know they've been coming out and blasting Biden for his mismanagement of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and everything else, putting us into mission critical. But the bigger thing is big oil wants to be around. They want to sustain. They're losing money if we're going to green energy. And green energy, you can't invest in green energy right now. There's not enough technology out there to make it profitable at this point in my book. I don't get it. Do you see profitability right now in the green energy sector? Because I don't. They're not generating enough electricity with wind and solar. And they don't have a plan. They shot themselves in the foot. The old saying, cut off their nose to spite their face. So now it's all about the American consumer, because we're basically focused. I know we have some listeners in France, Guy, believe it or not. But the bigger picture that I'm looking at is what the American consumer has to do. The consumer himself has to do to save himself, because the government is not going to do this for us. We have to come up with their own alternate energy solutions. And everybody's looking at solar. Everybody's looking at propane as an alternate means of, you know, when the grid goes down, we've got a backup generator. I mean, we've got solar powered generators. We have Lion Energy as one of our sponsors. I mean, we're looking at things like this, but these systems are not so far advanced that they can be brought into the realm that quickly to save this planet. I mean, this planet is not prepared for this, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think there's no question. I mean, you look at what's happening in the EU now. You know, the fundamental problem with wind and solar, there are operational problems and there are technical problems and there are economic problems. The operational problems are that with wind turbines, when the wind stops blowing, the turbines stop generating electricity. With solar voltaic cells, solar cells, the problem is if clouds obscure sunshine, then it dramatically affects the output of the solar voltaic cells. The other problems, and of course, the sun sets at night, and so that's oftentimes when you have peak demand, particularly in the wintertime, for electricity. So, you know, they're just operational issues, not including the problems of trying to store electricity generated by either wind turbines or solar cells. Now, the economic issues you just described, the what a lot of people don't understand about this recent inflation biting act that the president signed, which was really just kind of a mini Green New Deal, is that it offers tax incentives. And that's different than legislating spending. So when you legislate spending, you set a cap on it. If we're going to spend $790 billion, that's one thing. But if you have an investment tax credit, how much the government loses in tax income is dependent upon how many people take advantage of it. Now, I will tell you that one of the things that a consumer can do is opt not to install solar voltaic cells. Now, you know, they may power your house, but they create a problem for the power grid, and it has to do with the frequency of power that they generate. It's called asynchronous frequency. It's different from what your baseload power plants generate, and it presents a real problem for grid operators to integrate it into the grid. So there are a lot of reasons why the technology now does not favor renewables. Now, you know, over time that may change. If it does, fine. But I don't think there are a lot of reasons why solar and wind will never be able to power the base load of a power grid. And so I think including the fact that I believe in my book, I prove that CO2 has no harmful effect on the earth, and particularly in effect in the earth's temperature. What we ought to do is pursue an energy strategy that employs fossil fuels, employs nuclear in particular, and then incorporates wind and solar where it makes sense. I mean, hydroelectric obviously now plays a role. So a comprehensive energy policy that uses good, engineering practice to power the grid is the way to go. And for goodness sakes, the last thing we need is politicians who are trying to affect the composition of the grid. They're not real capable at doing anything particularly well, and that's the last thing we want them to do, is determine how we're going to get our electricity.
Well, and see, part of the bigger problem with this guy is that they've got the inside scoop on this stuff, and so they know where to invest their money, just like Rand Paul's wife buying Remdesivir Gilead Sciences stock, knowing that the clinical trials are going on. And I'm just looking at this situation going, you know what? The politicians are making out like bandits. We're sweating bullets trying to figure out how we're going to put food on the table. And they're trying to sit there and tell us that we need to eat bugs. I don't think so. Charles in Ohio, thanks for holding on. You're on the phone with Guy Mitchell. Go for it.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I hope you're well. I just wanted to say I really appreciate the work you're doing, but I still think that you're ignoring something very important. You're going into a room, a dark room, and you're going into a fight, and you don't realize who and what you're really fighting with. This is all about energy, and energy is technology plus fuel, and that it's the whole reason we're going to electric. They make a determination, and they're determining where all of our lives are going. But it started with Edison and Rockefeller back 100 years ago when Edison started generating electricity, which was challenging Rockefeller's fuel for illumination. They looked at all of this. They knew these things were going to happen. They wanted at that time to go to electricity, but they couldn't. The technology wasn't there yet. Now we're very close. They can turn us on and off with a switch. That's what they want. I mean, but the proof all along, they've written a paper, they've done the studies, they looked at our options, and this is the one that leaves them in the chain where they can turn our power on and off to who they want to have it, whose nation they want to advance forward with cheap energy, and who they want to put a cuff on and slow down.
So, Guy, does that sound like it chimes right in with your thought process?
Well, I don't know that I think that it's so much the government trying to make a decision about who gets electricity or not. I really think it has to do with a lack of understanding of the ramifications of what it is that they're proposing. The fundamental problem is that these politicians and a lot of so-called climate scientists who are not well-versed in the fundamental scientific disciplines don't really understand the fundamental issue, which is the fact that carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere does not plays virtually no role in moderating the temperature of the Earth. Now, you know, why politicians in particular have declared war on the carbon atom and the hydrocarbon bond is a puzzlement to me. And why, by the way, oil companies didn't do more to oppose it is something I will never understand, because it's had a huge economic impact on big oil companies. So I think it's a case where this whole climate science thing began back in the 60s, and it was sort of an obscure kind of corner of science that really didn't get a lot of attention because it's pseudoscience. It's not based on the science that you see employed in the hard sciences like thermodynamics and spectroscopy and quantum mechanics, even though it's got some issues. But it's a pseudoscience. And what happened was you had fringe politicians, people like Bernie Sanders, people like AOC, people like Elizabeth Warren, others picked up on this, and they tried to make it a socio-political issue. And so then all of a sudden you had, you know, people forecasting that the world, John Kerry, our climate envoy, says, world's going to end in 2029. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at least gave us another year till 2030. But so it got to be, it assumed the fervor of a kind of a religious movement. And that's what we have now. And it got out of the realm of solid science. And that's where it doesn't need to be a political issue. It doesn't need to be a social issue. I mean, energy, our energy, you're right, Charles, in that the standard of living of any country, everything else being constant, is a function of the per capita energy consumption. And so we need to protect our sources of energy, including fossil fuels, and use them wisely. Now, I'll tell you something that's interesting to me as I've done research over the years, is the fact that the U.S. in particular has an undeveloped nuclear generation program. And the rest of the world, France generates like 80% of their electricity from nuclear generation. And yet we are down, and as is the EU, in a very small fraction of our total electric generation. And that's because it's got to be a political issue. And we got to get all this stuff out of the hands of the politicians and put them in the hands of the real scientists and engineers who understand the technology and can employ it responsibly.
Yeah, and I appreciate your call, Charles. We've got other calls stacking up here. This is one of the problems when you let industry get run over roughshod by government. The industry needs to stand up if it's going to sustain. Whether it's oil, whether it's nuclear, whatever, these grid operators are only interested about making money. And I really think that, Guy, we're going to have a real head knocking with these people. And when it comes to energy supply and people depending on it, just, you know, given what you've said here, we are in a battle, Dave, with the energy companies who are in a battle with the government.
Dave, I'll say this in defense of the energy companies and the grid operators. You know, many of them, most of them, I think, maybe all of them in the United States, have at least one level of oversight by governmental body. I know many states have oversight in the form of the Utilities Commission and they regulate rates and they regulate capacity and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, your grid operators they have to kind of take what they've been given and do the best they can with it. And you mentioned the Northeast. You know, recently the MISO, the MISO, the grid operator for a 14-state area around Michigan, announced back in May of this year that with the closure of the Palisades nuclear plant, they now were going to be in a deficit of supply versus demand, and that people within their grid area could expect rolling blackouts. Now that the utilities are not making any more money when they have to cut people off for power. You know, everything else being constant, they'd rather be generating more electricity and selling more kilowatt hours. But if you're controlled by some governmental body that won't give you a permit for a new coal-fired power plant or won't give you a permit for a new nuclear power plant, there's only so much you can do. So, you know, and the oil companies would like to sell more fossil fuels. So I think that where they've fallen down on the job was that they didn't get the right scientists early on and mount a very aggressive counteroffensive to all of this pseudoscience that's been promoted by the United Nations. I mean, there are thousands of qualified real scientists out there who refute this fraudulent hypothesis, but they haven't gotten any audience.
Nope, they don't, and it's because people in the government's not listening. That's half the battle here, I think. But whatever. Kevin in Ohio, got a quick minute here. What's up?
Thank you very much for this broadcast. And when I saw the topic for today, I started developing a question quite quick in my mind because I graduated with a conservation natural resources degree, BS, and up to a master's. And I always thought it was the most amazing subject. They went in conservation or natural resource philosophy and all that. And the philosophy, what really blew me away was that they could invent something called carbon credits. This is in the early 70s. And sell it. Say it exists and sell it. They produce nothing. They create these industries. They're all through tax incentive funds. And it ripped the whole structure of every fiscal thing there is that this science supports.
We appreciate that. We're out of time, Kevin. I wish we had more because you got a great point there. We'll take up the subject matter at a later time. In the meantime, Dave Krieger with you. Thank you, Guy Mitchell, for being on the show. Very enlightening here. We will be back tomorrow with more of the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.